invite you to turn with me to the passage we read earlier, Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. And our focus will be verses 36 through to 50 of this wonderful account of what's headed in the New King James as the sinful woman forgiven. But the title of the message that I have given it is Forgiven Much, Love Much. Forgiven Much, Love Much. Do you love Christ?
Yes.
What a question that is. Do you love Christ? I'm not asking, do you love Christ perfectly? Because none of us do. But do you love him? Can you say with Peter, who denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times when questioned by his Saviour, do you love me? Despite his sin, despite his denial, Peter was brought to a point in his life where Christ had to ask him, Peter, do you love me? Now what did Peter say? He said, yes Lord, you know that I love you. Why do we love Christ? What is it? What is the reason why you can say from your heart, I love Christ? Maybe we can echo those words in the depth of our soul in 1 John 4 verse 19 when John says, we love him because he first loved us. Or 1 John chapter 4 verse 10, in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. He loved us so much that Jesus Christ sacrificed on the cross turned God's wrath away from you, away from me, to his son, to his only begotten son, who bore our punishment that we deserve, that we may be a people, but a forgiven people. To love Christ from the heart is because you have been forgiven. You have been forgiven by him. And our response to the forgiveness that we have received by grace is to love him. The very evidence of saving faith in your life, like this woman here, was her love towards Christ because she received forgiveness. This woman's love for a Saviour couldn't be shut up. It couldn't be suppressed. But her love came out because it was a powerful reality in her life. She didn't have a dead religion. No. But it was a reality in her life because Christ had done a truly an amazing work in her soul. This woman had been regenerated by God the Holy Spirit. She had been given a new heart. She had been born from above. And God has given her the very gifts of repentance and faith. She came to Jesus and she worshipped him because she had an insane encounter with Jesus. And a saving encounter with Jesus changes a life of loving sin to loving Christ and his ways. We begin to hate what he hates and love what he loves. Do we love Jesus like this? Is our heart's affection, our very attitude to Christ, like this woman's attitude was? Or are we like the Pharisee, Simon, who despised such a person in the community, and not even realizing that you also need Jesus to save you from your own self-righteousness? So there are three characters in the text. It's the woman, the Pharisee, and Christ. And Jesus deals with these two characters. These are real people. These are real people having two different backgrounds. The Pharisee was a man that kept the law, and he strived his hardest to keep the law, and kept himself away from people like this woman. And so we're going to see the difference between this woman and the Pharisee. We're going to see the fervent love of the forgiven woman, and we're going to see the faithless Pharisee, who was Simon. And so firstly, with me, see with me the fervent love of the forgiven woman. Verse 36 says, "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him, and he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat." Well, verse 36, it sets the scene. Jesus receives an invitation. And it's an invitation from the Pharisee. And it was an invitation to come to his house to have a meal, to eat. We also know that there are others there. In verse 49 it says, "And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sins?'" So there were many at this house, and they were having a meal together. We don't know the motive of Simon here. Why he was inviting Jesus for a meal, we don't actually know. But what we can say is that the Pharisees were always out to try and catch Jesus out. They were always trying to catch him out. They have already, in chapter 5, verse 21, charged Jesus of blasphemies by saying, who can forgive sins but God alone? They had made complaints about his disciples in verse 30 of chapter 5 about eating and drinking with tax collectors and sinners. And they had rejected the will of God for themselves by having not been baptized by John in verse 30 of chapter 5. And in verse 39, in our text, he rejects Jesus as a prophet. So we can safely say the invitation to have a meal was with a motive to try and find fault with Jesus. Maybe they wanted to learn more of who he was, and maybe they were trying to catch him out, to find some sort of evidence that they could charge sin against him and get rid of him, which they would never be able to do. From Jesus' perspective, from his perspective, he was to dine with a sinner. He was there to shine a light into the midst of the darkness in Simon's house. Now, Jesus went knowing that he was going to have a conversation with the Pharisee over a meal that day. And it was a divine appointment. It was a divine appointment to seek the lost. And he went with that desire. Well, something happens quite unexpected, doesn't it? Can you imagine if you were to have a meal this afternoon when you sit down and have your roast or whatever you may have, and someone just walks in your house and shares a meal with you, just dines with you? What would your response be? What would your response be? What would your response be? Someone who is uninvited? Someone who's invited that walks in your house and has a meal with you? What would your response be? Well, this is what happened. This is what happened. This woman, verse 37 says, and behold. Luke wants us to see. That's what he puts a behold there. He wants us to grasp. And behold. This is an extraordinary event in the life of Christ and in Simon. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. So this woman, she walked right in the room of Simon's house. In those days, when they were having a meal, they would tend to leave the door open in the sense that people would just walk in. But this woman, to walk in, wow, this woman was a sinner. Says Simon. Many commentators suggest that maybe this woman was a prostitute. She may have lived a life of sexual immorality. She may be a fornicator, an adulterer. She was unclean. She lived a life of lust. She had multiple men. She may have been a woman, what we would call a woman of the streets. We don't know for sure, but what we do know, that this woman was a sinner, and she was known for it. She was known in the area as a sinner. Yet this woman who came to the knowledge that Jesus Christ was at Simon's house had the courage to walk in to get to Jesus. Oh, she came with such courage that she knew that she would have been rejected by this from the Pharisees. She came. She came to him. And she came prepared with an alabaster flask of fragrant oil. She was known as a sinner. And Simon, he was known as a religious man, keeping the law as best as he can. Fulfilling the ceremonial laws as best as he can, looking good outwardly, but inwardly, he didn't have a sincere love for Christ. This woman did have a sincere love for Christ, because she came to worship Christ, because the work of grace had been done in her heart already. Some commentators have said that she may have heard the message of salvation before she came to Jesus, when Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. What drew her to Jesus that day was her love for Christ. But how does she come? Well, this woman comes to Jesus weeping, doesn't she, in verse 38. she's weeping so much that she's able to wash his feet with her tears. And the Lord's feet would have been dirty from the dusty pathways and roads. And I don't know what you think, but when you've got dust on you and just a bit of water touches your hand or your feet with dust, it just balls and just runs off you. But not for this woman. She was able to wash Christ's feet with many tears. In fact, her tears, we can safely say that her tears from her eyes, it was literally like she was raining down on Christ's feet with her tears. She weeps all over the Saviour's dusty feet. Her eyes that may have looked at another man in lust now looks at Christ with eyes who sees her Saviour as the one who has washed all her sins away. What a change of life. What a change of life. And then she lets down her hair and wipes the Saviour's feet. Now in that culture, to wash someone's feet in the normal way with water and a cloth with a basin, that was reserved for a slave. And not just any slave, the lowest of slaves. But this woman, there was no self-righteousness in her, as it were. She came humbly to him, and she used her hair to wipe the dirt and dry his feet. John MacArthur writes, "What would have shocked the onlookers even more than the woman washing of Jesus' feet was her letting down her hair. For a Jewish woman to do so in public was considered indecent, even immoral." She didn't care who was watching her. She didn't worry about who was seeing what she was doing. But her love for Christ just came out in the way that she so desired. And she even kisses his feet and she anoints them with oil. She anoints them with oil. And her fervent love for her Saviour. And what she did outwardly was the very evidence of what happened to her inwardly. She came to know with her own heart a deep affection for Christ. First, she knew that Jesus was at the house. She knew that Jesus was at the house. And firstly, this woman, she had a desire to be where Jesus is. And is that us this morning? Is that us this morning? Do we have a desire to be where Jesus is? In the house of God, listening to the word preached and worshipping him in hymns and spiritual songs and in prayer. Do we have that desire in our hearts? Because if you love Christ, you will want to be where he is. And yet today we see in many churches people stop attending to church, to the ordinary means of grace that God has given us. When we open the Word of God, it is God speaking to us. And if you truly want to be where the Lord Jesus Christ is, if you want to hear from him, if you want to know more of him, if you want to know more deeply of him, and have the knowledge of Christ in our hearts built up and we are edified, And that we are encouraged and even rebuked for our own good. That we must be in the house of God where Jesus is. And yet there are many who don't come out to the evening services. And I know there's physical problems that fine. But when you're fit and able, where would you rather be? Somewhere else, or where your Saviour was? Christ went to the cross for us. And yet sometimes we don't have that desire to be where He is. There's lots of people who claim to be Christians but don't see the need to gather for worship or to be a part of the local church where Christ is. She saw this opportunity to be where He was. And she wanted to be in His very presence. Why? She loved Him. She loved Him. And what you love, you will serve. What you love, you will serve. If you love Christ, then you will serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You will, in some way, shape or form. She may not do what this woman's doing, obviously not. But in the depths of your heart, if you love Christ, you will be devoted and serve Him with the best abilities that you can give in the works that He has prepared for you to enter into. She wanted to be where He was. Secondly, she came prepared. She brought the fragrant oil. This was an expensive item for her. Very expensive. And even how it was stored, it was probably stored in a marble bottle. And even the bottle was expensive. But she came to honour Him. She came to honour her dear Saviour. She came bearing this gift. Something so costly. Maybe that's all she had. But she gave it to Jesus. Well, thirdly, she came weeping, didn't she? She came weeping. She wept at the feet of her Saviour. Why? She knew who she was. You know who she was? She was a sinner. She was a sinner. And she knew that she was a deep sinner. She was wretched. Poor, blind, before she encountered Christ. She knew exactly who she was. And she came to Jesus just as she was. With all her sin and with all her debt. And this brought those deep affections within her soul. She came to Jesus weeping before Him. You see, biblical faith affects your mind, it affects your will, your volition, but also affects your emotions and your affections of your heart. And this woman, it was her ascent to God. And you may have not wept. It's not about how many tears you shed. But you see, this woman's attitude to Christ was an attitude of love toward Him. But also she came knowing who He was. So she knew who she was, but she also came knowing who He is. Who He is. Her wonderful Saviour. The one who can cleanse a filthy sinner and declare her forgiven. Clean. A new creation. And if she was a prostitute, a woman of the streets, the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive the worst of sinners, as it were. It doesn't matter what you've done, how you've done it. If there's a desire to be forgiven, Christ can forgive the worst of sinners. You may have been a fornicator. You may have been an adulterer. You may have been a thief. You may have been a notorious sinner. That's what she was known as a notorious sinner. You have maybe been all those things. And yet there's forgiveness with Christ. He could forgive the most grossest form of sin. If he can forgive the murderer, he can forgive the rapist. There are many Christians inside our prisons. You know that. And they have come to the knowledge and conviction that they must have Christ or else I die. So if there be anyone here, and you've got that thought in your mind, thinking that I can't be forgiven because I'm too bad, and Christ says, come to me. So he says, come to me. He can forgive anyone. And has the power to do so, because he's paid the price at Calvary. Well, they were tears of thankfulness as well. They were tears of thankfulness. They were tears of being in the presence of God. She was in absolute awe of him. Could only weep before him. She came to Jesus, didn't she, with a humbled spirit. A humble spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. She didn't come because she felt she had the right to, but she came in thankfulness. Fourthly, she came to serve him and worship him. She didn't worry about if he was watching her, what others might say. She came with a loving commitment to serve him. Because she loved him. Because he first loved her. And does this describe you in some sort of way? Your love for Christ? Has something deeply changed in your own heart and soul? You go back to when you was converted. You had a change of life. One minute you were walking in the ways of the world, to the elementary principles of the world. And then you came to Christ. He sought you. He seeked after you. And there you were convicted of your sin. And there you saw Jesus altogether lovely. You were brought at the foot of the cross. And there you saw how beautiful Christ is as he paid the punishment that we so deserve. And there you were given a new heart. He had given you the very gifts of repentance and faith. And there you cried out, O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. He had dealt with you. He had dealt with the inner man, the inner woman. And you saw to Jesus altogether lovely. You could only but bow before his throne. You could only but see him as altogether lovely. Why? Because you have been forgiven. And the peace of God dwelt within the soul. What did it look like for you? How did your life change? Maybe you hated going to church. Maybe that was you. But now you love it. You love coming to church. You love to worship him. You love to hear the word of God. You love to serve him. You love to worship him. You love to pray. How was it with you? There's so much joy in the depth of your soul. And you just couldn't get enough of Christ and his word as he had dealt with you and has spoken to you. Well, secondly, see with me the faithless Pharisee. The faithless Pharisee. Now when the Pharisee who, verse 39, when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." In the midst of this amazing scene, there was something else going in the heart of Simon the Pharisee. As he watched this woman, as he cast his eye upon this woman, as he cast his eye upon this event between this woman and Christ, there came to a point in his own heart that he had to make this own evaluation for himself. And what did he say when we just read it? But his evaluation was this. This man, if he were a prophet, there he denies Christ as a prophet, and then the woman, she goes, "Well, she's just a sinner. She's a sinner." That was his initial response. But Jesus so shocked Simon that he can see in a man's heart. You see, he says in his own heart, in his own mind, because the text says, doesn't it, that he spoke to himself. So it wasn't out loud, it was in himself. So he made this conscious thought in his mind and in his heart at what was going on. And so he then says that if this man were a prophet, he would know what manner of woman who is touching him, for she is a sinner. The point is that Jesus Christ knew exactly who this woman was, but the point was also, he knew exactly what Simon was. He knew what was going on in the depths of his soul. And he's going to find this out, because Jesus is going to deal with this man. He's going to deal with this man. She is a sinner. And I wonder if there would be anyone here just like Simon. We can be just like Simon sometimes. We can condemn. We can make false judgments. There are many like Simon in the local church. There are those who think they are far superior. Far superior. There are those who think merely in human ways. They think and act according to their own perspective, but not God's. See, in God's eyes, she was a forgiven sinner. In Simon's eyes, she was a sinner, unclean to touch Jesus, and even unclean for Simon to even associate with her. The problem with Simon that day, he couldn't see himself properly. He couldn't see what God saw of him. He was a sinner also. Oh, he may not have committed the same sins as she's done, but this man, he had a debt. He had a debt. And the wages of sin is death. He would have known the great commandment. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second, you shall love your neighbour as yourself. And here, Simon failed at the first hurdle. He failed to see his own failure in his own life. And we can all act like Simon in some sort of way. We can. If people come into the church, then they may have the title over them, as it were, or a banner over them as a notorious sinner. And they may look different than us, they may speak different than us, and yet in our hearts, we condemn them in some sort of way. We'd rather hold them to their old life instead of their new life. We'd rather hold them to their old reputation, to their new reputation in Christ Jesus. We can become cold toward people. Some people don't even speak to those kind of people. And it's so easy prone to condemn others or not looking at our own hearts. A dear young Christian lady I know of went to a Christian missionary meeting in support of the mission and to know more of it. She was a giver and a prayer over the mission. She went to that mission day that day and no one spoke to her. No one spoke to her. She was ignored. All because of she was not the same kind of tribe and looked different. It is treacherous. For a child of God to be treated by another child of God like that. And yet we can do it. So Jesus answers and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. He said, teacher, say it. Or when the Lord says that to you, you will be, you will push back and go, Lord, say it. If Christ has something to say to me, I'm going to want to hear what he says. And fair play to Simon. He said, teacher, say it. I'm willing to hear from you. You got something to say to me? But look what's just happened. He's just thought all these thoughts in his mind about Christ and this woman. And now Christ is going to have to deal with that because he can see exactly in his heart. He's just going to be addressed by the Son of God, who's truly God and who's truly man. He's going to deal with his self-righteousness. And Jesus does it in a way, in the form of a parable. A very small parable. And he tells a story of the creditor and the debtors. And he says in verse 41, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii, so a large debt, and the other 50, a smaller debt. And when they had to have nothing which to repay, he freely forgave them both. Tell me therefore, which of them will love him more? And so Simon's trapped. He can't move, he can't squirm, he's going to have to speak honestly here. Simon answered and said, well, I suppose, so he's got this, in his spirit, he doesn't really want to say too much, but he says, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And Jesus says, well, you've rightly judged, yeah, you've answered correctly. And so there were two debtors, both owed money, okay, both were in debt, but the difference is one had one larger, one had one smaller. But they both had nothing to pay with. They both had nothing to pay the debt. So both were in debt. So the creditor forgave them freely. And the point of the story is whoever has been forgiven the most will love the forgiver the most. And Simon got it right. But the point is that Simon was a sinner, just like this woman. Both are sinners. Both have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And she may have committed more sin and other sins and lived them more. But he was a sinner. He was self-righteous, faithless, cold, judgmental, loveless. He was a man of works who tried to outweigh his works from his sin as a means to work to the way to God. But Jesus revealed in that day, in his life, that he too was a sinner. he was in debt to God. The problem with Simon is that he thought less of his sin before God. He thought less of his sin before God. All people owe God an unpayable debt for sinning against his law. The sentence is death. And both have no righteousness of their own to pay the debt. And so both are in the same position, but only Christ can cancel the debt of sin. Only Christ can cancel the debt of sin. And cancel the debtor from entering into hell and setting free from the bondage of sin and destruction. And it is Christ, beloved, that wipes away, he erases our debt and forgives freely. Both are in debt, but he forgives freely. But now Jesus begins to push the point in Simon's heart. Jesus wants Simon to understand in his own heart and his own reality by making a contrast between him and the woman. Jesus turns to the woman and says to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, you gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet, and her tears had wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil." Simon's actions compared to the woman's were so cold towards Jesus. He couldn't even provide Jesus water for his feet. He couldn't even provide the basic hospitality needs for his guests. His attitude towards Christ was the complete opposite. And I wonder what our attitude is like toward Jesus Christ this day. Is there some sort of indifference in our hearts before him? Simon thought he was better than her. He looked down at her, but it was her that showed him, that showed Simon, what forgiveness does in the heart and the response of being forgiven is, which is a fervent love for Christ. Therefore I say to you, verse 47, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. Then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Now this woman wasn't forgiven because she loved much. Okay? She loved much because she was forgiven much. Her tears didn't save her. Her service to Jesus' feet didn't save her. Her love didn't save her. Those things were actions. They were the fruit of already being saved. We might say it was the evidence of being saved. Her love was the response of being forgiven by Christ. And Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. It was her faith. It was her faith. Jesus said, your faith has saved you, not your tears, not your love, as it were. This woman had already been saved before she came to Jesus that day. She already heard the message of salvation through Christ's preaching. But here, you imagine this woman here, in the presence of Christ, hearing those words, your sins are forgiven you. That must have been such an awesome time for her, because she must have had that assurance in her soul that the Lord God Almighty has just declared, your sins are forgiven you. It was a token to her, a confirmation to her, And what else would you want in this life but to know that you are forgiven by Christ? They're the most blessed words you can hear from him, that your sins are forgiven you. And maybe this morning, beloved, there may be some here that you need that again, that you just need to hear those words, that your faith has saved you, that you have been forgiven, that your sins are forgiven. Because you may look back at your old life, and you may worry about all sorts of kinds of sins that you have done, and you may have doubts and fears. But you look back and see what Christ has done in your life to what you are now. And he says to you, your sins are forgiven. Are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. How about those at the table? What was going on in their hearts? And he began to say to themselves, who then is this who forgives sins? And that's the point. Christ declared that he had forgiven her. Why? Only God can forgive sins, but Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He is truly God. He is truly man. Maybe we have grown cold towards Jesus for some reason. And you might say, How do I have a deeper love for Christ as I walk and continue to walk by faith? How do I have a deeper love for him? How do I get to the point where my heart is overwhelmed with thanksgiving and humbleness toward him and a love toward him? Even your prayers may have grown cold. When's the last time you said, Lord, I love you. Lord, I love you. Well, we need to come and see a fresh sense of how much God has forgiven us. How much God has forgiven us. The more you see your debt and your total inability to pay, the more you have a deep, deep love for Christ. Because Christ has paid your debt for past, present and future sins. All of your sins are done away with because of Christ and his work on the cross. And we need to come again, once again, to see Christ at the cross. And to come and see with a fresh sense of what we've been saved from. We've been saved from destruction and destruction in hell. We've been saved from the weeping and the gnashing of teeth in hell. We've been snatched from the fire. We have been rescued by Christ. Oh, that we would see and grow in love for him more and more. And with the thankfulness of our hearts and the gratitude of our hearts. You've been forgiven. What a blessing words they are. Remember when he said to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven. And let this all dwell in our hearts richly. And if the love has grown cold, let us go to Christ afresh again and see to him altogether lovely, and that we would be servants of him who serve him out of a love for him, a genuine heartfelt love. Some of you are growing old in age, but he's not done with you yet. You're still breathing, and you can still serve him, and you can still serve him fervently and love him fervently. That will never stop. And there will you be on your deathbed, and you can say that the Lord Jesus Christ has done all things well, because he's loved you with an everlasting love. And because he's loved you with an everlasting love, how much more can we do for him? How much more can we serve him? How much more can we deny the flesh? How much more in our lives that we can give up for him? How much more where he would lead us? Wherever he would have us go, and we would follow him in obedience. Let us meditate on these things, and let us have a love, a fervent love of this woman, like this woman. And I'll leave these thoughts with you. Amen.